Welcome to Pagan Coffee Talk. Here are your hosts, Lady Alba and Lord Knight.
Crystals and rocks.
Crystals and rocks. At the mall.
The mall.
Crystals at the mall.
To understand, people like Shirley MacLaine.
Hey, baller. Hey, baller man. Hi.
So.
Let's talk about your favorite subject.
Oh, my goodness. My crystals. Favorite subject? I don't think it's my favorite subject. I'm going to piss some people off on this one. This is my warning right now. Okay.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. Okay. So, I have a massive rock collection.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. It's lovingly referred to as the museum. Now.
And how many of them did you actually dig up?
Quite a few. So.
No, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
75?
No.
Percent?
No, 50, maybe like 20. 20%. So, the Carolinas, for people that don't know, and Georgia also, are a major geologic hotspot. And back in the day, North Carolina alone had a couple of hundred mines in the mountain range along the Blue Ridge Parkway. And everything from emeralds and rubies and kyanite and quartz and tourmaline is found here. Now, some of these mines still exist. And then some of us just go out into the wild where it's legal and dig. And then there are also some actual fee mines where you can go and pay money to get really, really exceptionally dirty. And maybe find crystals. Yes. And it's fun. So I know a lot about rocks. I have only acquired this knowledge in the past 7 or 8 years.
I'd say about 10.
Nah, it's not even that long.
No.
Yeah, it's not. It was born out of a really strange night job where I had about 2 hours in the middle of the night, literally with nothing to do while waiting for my actual job to begin. And I started researching led to collecting. And then I basically did enough on my own that I have like a minor degree in geology.
Just the minor.
It's a little ridiculous. And then my brother simultaneously got really involved in it. And so now we rock hound together. So all of this to say.
Wait a minute, rock hound? Is that a technical term?
Yeah. Yeah, you're a rock hound. Yeah. You go hunt for rocks. All of this is to say, while I do not know everything about rocks, I don't profess to at all. And I would probably not be able to hold my own with a real geologist. I do know a lot more than the average person. So, it is no surprise to anybody, right, that pagans really like their rocks.
We love to get our rocks off.
Yeah. Which is cool. I support this. I think that's great. But I have some issue when people start talking about all of the healing properties of the rocks. All of the things the rocks can do for you.
Okay, what does this also encape this whole entire that the molecules inside of a quartz crystals is also at the speed of light by still being still? And
it's not even that scientific. You're way too sciencey for what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people that are like, you know, everything from you have to put your rocks out in the moon, in the full moon every month to cleanse them, and that use a multitude of gemstones and their spiritual workings. Here's the thing. Like, if I were to even attempt to cleanse my rocks in the manner most people, it would take me 3 days just to haul them all outside to show them to the moon, and then another 3 days to bring them back in.
And God forbid, even our real cleansing process, that would take you even twice as long.
It would, absolutely. So all of this is to say, I want to kind of debunk a little bit, you know, some of these beliefs around crystals and where this came from. First and foremost, I mean, because I think we have to make this very clear. You're talking about marketing ploys.
Yes.
The people who sell rocks went, oh, people like them from a metaphysical standpoint. And if we start giving these rocks attributes and telling people that they do certain things, we will be able to sell more of a particular type of rock that we have a surplus of.
Exactly.
A great example of this is called shungite. Despite the fact that it sounds like it should come from the Orient, you know, or some Asian country, it comes from Russia. It's a black stone. It is fairly light. It's not very heavy. It looks like a dull obsidian,
okay,
at best. Okay, but it's just a completely black stone.
So it's actually looking sort of like what real coal looks like.
Yes, but heavier than coal.
It's heavier than coal.
It's heavier than coal. It's heavier than jet, because jet is super light.
Right.
But it's just a black stone. Okay. In any other capacity, I think in any other, people were just like, it's just a black rock. There's nothing special about this stuff. There's a tremendous amount of it. And here's my guesstimation. I think that shungite was in the way of something else that was being mined. Okay. Like, this was the rock on top of the rock they were trying to get to. So they ended up with a ton of it. And this happens quite a bit, by the way. And one of the things that's interesting about shungite is you rarely ever see it raw. Most shungite is polished. They turn it into shapes. I mean, I've seen it in spheres, in little pyramids, in little flat disks. And somebody came up with the idea that shungite helps to protect you from the electromagnetic rays from your cell phone and other electronics. Yes. Yes.
As you've been saying, my scientific mind just snapped.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because here's what we know, right? Here's real science at work versus pseudoscience. The only thing, to our knowledge, that protects you from electromagnetic rays or radiation is lead.
Yes.
This is why when you go to the dentist's office and you get an x-ray, they put a lead bib on you. Yeah.
Well, there's also an electrical cage, but...
Of course there is.
That doesn't... Mm-hmm. I can't think of... There's an actual...
I'm sure there is. Yeah. Yeah. That no one could ever afford. Yeah. Yeah. Some scientist in Switzerland has one. Yeah. But I'm talking common materials,
common,
right?
Materials.
Yeah, common materials. Lead is that. Is what does that. And lead is, of course, not a rock. Lead is a mineral. Yeah. It's a metal.
It's a metal. Yeah.
A heavy metal, no less. That's a dangerous one. Okay. So 15-ish years ago, shungite didn't exist. No one knew what it was. Nobody talked about it. You didn't see it in rock shops. It just sort of appeared one day and then started taking off. Marketing. Moldavite is another one that's in this category. Moldavite isn't even a rock. It's glass. It's a type of glass that people believe is basically from outer space.
Seriously?
Yeah, that it's what happens when a meteor contacts with Earth and melts the sand or the silicate around it.
The same thing when you're doing like the lightning strikes out on the beach.
Yeah, fulgurite.
Yeah, thank
yeah.
you.
So these things, you know, they are found in nature. And mm-hmm. and yes, they're real in that sense. When I talk about rocks, I talk about their locality, meaning where they are from. Geography, I talk about their Mohs hardness, which is the scientific scale that we use to measure the density and the
strength.
Yeah, the strength of the stone itself. Right. Basically, how much pressure does it take to crack it or break it?
Right, because I believe that scale goes like diamonds is 10. Zero.
Nope, 10. It goes 1 to 10.
Okay, so it's the reverse of doing the acid thing.
Yes. The lower the number, the weaker the rock. The higher the number, the stronger the rock.
Okay.
And gosh, what else? And literally composition, right? What's it made out of? Where did it come from? What are the adjoining minerals that were near it, around it, etc.? That's it. Okay. They're pretty. I like them. They're fun. I learn stuff, like exactly what we're talking about. I get to talk to the people who, you know, dug them out of the ground in whatever country it came from, and the process of cleaning it, which does involve a shitload of acid. we get into all of the different ways that you clean them off, that you polish them, that you cut them, that you turn them into jewelry. So, the metaphysical community is just overrun with the whole, I have this rock for this reason, and I have this rock for this. Literally, there's a t-shirt that says, I have a rock for that, because right. Everyone thinks the rocks cure everything.
Right.
If the rocks cured everything, hands down, and because here's the other thing that I failed to mention, my rock collection sits in ritual space.
Yes, it does.
This was not intentional. That was the room that had the space for them. Okay. Because I have one room in my house just dedicated for ritual space, and you put shelves in it, voila, place for rocks. So this was just necessity to house the collection. If these rocks had the kind of power that people think they have, no one in my house would ever be sick with anything. No one that comes into our ritual space would ever contract anything. We would all be purged of all ills. Yeah.
That did not work out like they thought it did, did they?
No. And I do not understand why this is still being perpetuated. It is a pseudoscience. Now, if we want to get into real science, what can rocks do?
Well, let's see.
Let's start with quartz.
Quartz. Quartz, when cut specifically and everything grows perfectly, can actually create an electrical charge after being pressed.
Yes. Quartz is also, as it stands right now scientifically, is the most space-saving data recorder in existence. You can use quartz. Think of it like a flash drive.
Like a flash drive.
Yeah. You can record information onto a piece of quartz that would otherwise take.
Right. But to use those crystals, mm-hmm. We're talking about crystals that have to be grown in yes, a lab.
Correct. Lab grown. Yeah. But there are some in nature that are so pure they can do it, but those are few and far between, and it's more cost-effective to grow them.
To grow them. Yes. Right, because you're going to get a larger sampling of
what's
grown perfectly the way it needs to be.
So literally, things that used to take supercomputers to house data can now be put onto a quartz crystal. It's phenomenal, and it's fascinating science. They can be used in timepieces the same way they have been for a very long time.
Radios. There's the quartz radio that picks up vibrations.
Yes. They're very good transmitters. This is real.
This is real. Yeah. Not arguing.
No. This is real science. Okay. Diamonds. Forget the jewelry industry. Let's talk about the industrial application. Anyone who works in construction knows carbide.
Mm-hmm.
Carbide is nothing more than diamond dust. It's raw diamond that cannot, it's not gem grade.
It's being glued to a piece of metal.
Yes.
It's literally
fused. Yeah, it's not gem grade. You would never make a diamond ring out of this stuff, but it is so hard and so durable, it can cut through things that we otherwise wouldn't be able to cut through.
No. Matter of fact, I think everything's based on how strong a diamond is, and everything falls from that.
Pretty much. There are industrial applications and uses for what is known as corundum. Corundum are rubies and sapphires that are not, again, gem grade. There's others. There's a lot of different scientific applications where minerals and rocks have a place. Bismuth. Bismuth is a mineral that a lot of people know because kids play with it. Okay.
All right.
And it's very colorful. It gets smelted down and it gets poured into these really funky molds. It's a chemistry experiment that a lot of chemistry teachers do with like high school kids. And it makes these cool prisms and colors and shapes. And it looks very Borg-ish or like Tetris-y. And people love them. Bismuth is where Pepto-Bismol gets its name. Yeah, Pepto-Bismol has a certain percentage inside of it of bismuth, which can be ingested. Too much of it will kill you, but in controlled quantities, it will calm your upset tum-tum. And there's countless examples of this stuff, okay? Now, and you can do the research on this. Like, literally, you can go, what rocks are used in manufacturing, in textiles, in food? There's actually a ton of mineral elements that go into food, cosmetics, right?
Oh, yeah.
So many different things. And all of this is widely held scientific belief. So, when people, you know, are like, hey, I'm using this quartz crystal in my ritual or in my spell working to direct energy. Yes. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
I'm like, great. That makes perfect scientific sense.
Sitting there going, hey, I'm going to use this gemstone as a focal point to channel my energies.
Yes.
No problem.
Nope. None whatsoever. But when people start saying, I have a piece of bloodstone, which, by the way, is nothing more than a jasper agate, and I'm going to use it to cleanse the blood of somebody who's diabetic, not going to happen. Either give that person insulin or shut the fuck up. Because that rock is not going to do a goddamn thing.
No.
To that person's blood. Are they ingesting it? No. I'm placing it on their chakra.
Now for just a bite of the other side here.
Sure.
For those who would sit there going, no, the crystal might not do nothing, but me sitting here telling you this could start that placebo.
Yes.
Effect.
The placebo effect. So let's talk a little bit about where Reiki comes into the picture, because I do believe that Reiki is part of the problem of where this originated. Reiki is a practice of healing, of energy work, of body manipulation, I think is pretty good.
Right.
You know, I don't see any major problem with it, especially when we're talking about the laying of hands, right? And working on or with someone. I believe that touch is powerful. Absolutely. However, somewhere along the line, it became popular to start bringing stones into the Reiki practice and putting stones on different chakras, on people's bodies. And it started this whole thing, right? Of like, oh, you know, pink quartz rose quartz is going to open up this chakra or do this. It's just quartz. It's quartz with an inclusion that turned it pink. It's still quartz.
It hasn't changed.
No. I love the people who have a dossier on all the things that amethyst will do for you and how powerful amethyst is. It's quartz. It's still quartz. Amethyst is just quartz by a different name. So is citrine. Citrine is heat-treated quartz. When it's put under enough heat and pressure, it turns it yellow. Now, there is naturally occurring citrine that comes from deep in the earth, and it's beautiful. 90%+ of the citrine on the market today is irradiated. Yes.
Irradiated?
Irradiated. It is called irradiated quartz because it has literally been pumped with radiation.
Well, I mean, I can't say nothing.
I've turned the color.
I've seen them sell the radiation bracelets.
Yes.
For the positive ion.
Copper and metal bands and all that stuff.
But some people are actually putting radioactive material in there.
Good call. Yeah, that sounds...
And I'm sorry, again, something else you can buy on Amazon.
That sounds fun. I do have radioactive rocks, but that's another discussion. Under lock and key, for the obvious reason. But yes, in these radiation levels that we're talking about, they're very, very low. They don't do anything to us, but still, 90% of the citrine on the market is effectively fake. It's just regular old quartz that has been irradiated, and it turns colors. Most amethyst, same thing. The thing that makes it purple is an inclusion called hematite. Now, we know hematite.
Yes, we do.
We know hematite for its magnetic abilities.
Now, does this mean now that this rock that has a little bit of hematite and a little bit of crystal, does this change the actual property?
Not really. It's the same freaking rock. But you're paying twice as much money for it because it's purple. aside from that, it has no more greater or lesser value. Now, a pure hematite, on the other hand, has completely different properties.
Right.
And, again, has some useful applications. Same thing goes for some rocks that are magnetic, lodestones.
Right.
We love lodestones.
We do love them.
Jesus Lord. lodestones are one of the best tools in a witch's toolbox, in my opinion. Because
I'm there with you on that.
They're magnetic. And they're so magnetic that we can see it with the naked eye and things stick to them. And a lot of us, now some people have like lodestone pets, like a pet rock and it's a lodestone and they feed it. They feed it little iron shavings periodically. Like they pay a lot of attention to it. And I think like anything else, you pay enough attention to something, you feed it enough.
You start to create a thought form.
Yes, you are definitely imbibing, right, it with some of you.
Right.
And that is important in ritual working. It becomes a tool then. So typically, if I want to attract something into my life, you bet your bippy, I'm getting out my lodestones. Okay? I hope this is making sense to everybody. But it is, again, because it is sound. It makes sense. When we start with all of this other marketing nonsense that I see so much of that's out there, it's a little bit, it's nutty. Like, truly, guys, it's nutty. It's people taking your money. They want to market something to you that in all actuality has very little value, but they have too much of it.
Yes.
And because they want to get rid of it, they figure out a way to make it appealing. Selenite is one of these types of minerals. Gosh, there's grape agate, which is nothing but, to rock people, grape agate is actually called botrytal amethyst because it is the same stone. It's amethyst. And again, most people don't know this. And a lot of the polished rocks that metaphysical people go crazy for, they're polished because they were such poor quality
for gem purposes.
Right. That was the only way to make them palatable, was to put them in a tumbler and polish them up so that people would go, ooh, shiny. But before then, they were virtually worthless. So the big thing that I see, right, and again, this is how I differentiate what I have as far as a rock collection and what a lot of I see right. witches doing. Very few, if any, of my specimens are polished. Very few of them are in a shape. They're not spheres. They're not towers, see, I've obelisks. Noticed that.
All yours just look like they just...
came from the ground.
Right.
Yeah. They look exactly the way they did when they were plucked from the earth. Okay? They have not been manipulated. All of the stuff that people get, you know, I have a smoky quartz here and I have this type of thing here and this sphere for this. I'm like, why? What do you expect it to do? Are you going to juggle them?
Now, here's a good question for you. Mm. Do you think this is caused by a lack of people not believing in their own power?
Yes.
And have to rely on something else?
I think they believe it has to come from somewhere else. And yes, they don't believe enough in their own abilities. When I use a rock in spell casting, it is very practical, like what I was saying about right. a lodestone or a piece of quartz. I will tell you my other all-time favorite. This gets into curses, though, so we're gonna tread lightly, but here's the deal. There's something called cuprite. Cuprite is fossilized dinosaur poop.
Ooh.
There's nothing better than burying somebody under some shit, let me tell you.
So, well, that's some heavy shit.
It is. It really is. If you want to wreak a little bit of havoc, yeah, go ahead and put a piece of dinosaur poo, yeah, on top of somebody, you know, photo or whatever you want to do. Great. If nothing else, very therapeutic. So things like that, symbolically, because of what they right. represent, yes, makes a hell of a lot of sense to me. The rest of it, I'm just like, man, these statistics and these things that people come up with, it's so nutty. And then you get people who are like, oh, I have to hand pick all, I have to touch all of the crystals because I have to see which one speaks to me and which energy. If you have a box of quartz in front of you, of quartz points, they're all the same.
I mean, technically, they all could be from the same rock.
They could be. And they could be from the same mine, the same hole, the same vein of quartz.
Right.
Quartz is the single most common material on the planet.
Yes.
All quartz is the same. I could pick up a piece of quartz from my driveway.
From just the gravel.
From the gravel. And put it side by side with a beautiful piece of Colombian quartz crystal, there's no difference.
No.
They feel the same.
There is one difference. Mm. One costs like 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one costs how much?
Oh my God, depending on the piece, you could be spending thousands. Seriously, yeah. Thousands of dollars on these things.
I've seen these big, beautiful pieces of rock yeah. that are $2,000 or $3,000.
They do the same thing, okay? There's absolutely no difference in them at all. And I'm sorry, when people tell you that there is, I really don't know that I would believe that. I was at an event recently where one of the vendors who was selling rocks had a bowl. And the bowl had a sign on it, and she was requesting, if you pick up any of the rocks, please put it in this bowl so that I can cleanse it before I put it back into the merchandise. And I was like, are you out of your mind?
Well, now here's my question. She did it. She did the bowl and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Are these people actually going back and... are they actually doing this?
Yeah, I believe she was. I completely believe that she was, because she believed so wholeheartedly that just by picking up that rock, I could somehow, me or anybody else, could somehow in that instance leave so much negative energy with it that it required a cleansing. I'm like, lady, you have more odds. You need to clean the pen at your doctor's office.
More than
you need to clean or cleanse that crystal, because the pen at the doctor's office is just a myriad of germs and ick and God knows what else that's what you need to cleanse.
Kind of like door handles. Yes. Door handles need to be cleansed.
Yes. Not the rock. The rock is a fine. Here's the other thing with that. Oh, I mean, yes, if you have used a rock extensively in spiritual practice, any rock, it doesn't have to be valuable. It could literally be from your driveway. And you have worked with it and you have used it and you have made it part of your practice. Is there some of you attached to it? Yes. Like anything else. Absolutely. But that is with a tremendous amount of usage.
Exactly.
The 2 moments that it takes for me to pick up a rock, turn it over, look at it and go, nah, I don't want to buy that one. I'm not leaving anything behind, nor is anyone else.
Well, no. And the rocks that I do know of, that we do use on rituals in a regular basis, are normally subjected to so much spiritual and psychic energy, it's never used for anything else.
Correct.
But that's one thing.
Correct. And if you know your stones and you know these sorts of things, then yes, you have a very, shall we say, reserved pile for that purpose. And you keep them probably the way you'd keep your tarot cards, away from everything and everyone else, and nobody touches them but you.
Right.
But good googly moo, all this other stuff, it makes my head hurt. And I see it constantly. And I get asked this. People will go, oh, what stone do I use for this or for that? I go, whichever one you like. Pick a color that represents the thing that you're going for and find an associated stone.
I don't understand with... Pick what gets your motor started.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't understand why we can't do that anymore.
Because again, everybody feels like it has to come from something special or something else. All I can tell you when it comes to most rocks is they have lived underground for, in some cases, tens of thousands and sometimes millions of years. They have seen it all. They have experienced it all. There is very little that we can do to them to have that great an impact or an influence.
Well, I think about it this way. This is the way I like to think about it. There are mountains that are still tall when we were still learning how to stand in a line.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
I know.
There were these rocks were around while we were still in the trees.
Yes. Now, color magic... Different story, okay?
Okay.
And I think color magic, different story, different podcast. You know what I mean? Different
right.
episode. But color magic is one thing. You can use a rock based on its color for whatever color magic you want.
Right.
But to, again, impart or give this idea that these rocks have some incredible magical healing ability, please rethink those practices. They are a geologic... science. They are composed of minerals and of materials the same way your body is. And in many instances, our body is made up of some of these minerals that exist in these rocks.
I mean, well, according to what in the world I see and on here and all this and what in the world they say and what I know, I don't need to go to a doctor. All I need to do is go to the beach and be buried in the sand for a few hours.
Exactly. It's that sort of idea. Like,
well, see, now that's kind of an idea that I see as a little bit dangerous, because if you got someone, well, I believe this and I'm going to do this before I go to the doctor.
Yeah. And that's where it gets scary.
This is where it bothers me.
Yeah. It's very, very scary. In my opinion, even more powerful than quartz, the single most powerful rock on our planet, at least when we're talking about craft, is salt.
Yes.
And people forget that that's a rock, and they forget that it's mined from the earth.
Yes.
Be it for ritual use, be it for your health, be it for any number, an Epsom salt bath is one of the greatest things you can do for yourself. That is completely different. Again, there is scientific proof of how it impacts us and what it can do. Electrolytes, guess what they're made of? Salt. And potassium and magnesium, another mineral. those are the kinds of things and places where, yes, there is merit to rocks having healing ability. But do all rocks have that?
No. I mean, it's just like herbs. Not all herbs are good for us.
Some of them just smell nice.
Some of them just smell nice. Some of them don't even do anything to us.
Some of them just taste good. Some of them smell nice. Whoop-de-doo. That's the end of it. And that's how I look at my rocks. They look nice. They bring me joy. They make me happy.
That's more important.
Yes.
That right. I'm being serious. I'm not being an ass.
Yes. No.
That brings you. It bringing you joy is more important.
There it is. If it makes you happy, and you like them, and you like having them around, and you like learning about them, collecting them, I will tell you, in my time in the rock community, has been almost as fulfilling as my time in the pagan community, because the people are fantastic. I have made some wonderful friends in the rock community. I joined my local, you can find local rock groups in your area and little geologic, groups in almost every city. So much fun, so educational, and the nicest humans ever.
And you get the chance to get out and get your hands in some dirt.
And let me tell you something, that's more healing than anything else about the entire process. But be warned, if you go to one of these gem and mineral societies, do not expect to hear a bunch of people talking about the healing properties of these stones. They are going to look at you cross-eyed.
No, they're going to sit there and go, here's how it looks under a microscope.
Yes.
This is what we think the genetic structure,
the geologic structure.
The structure of this is. This is how we think the atoms are formed to create these.
Yes, all of it. The pressure that it took to make it, where it originated, why it grew or developed. Here's the thing that I love about them. They grow. That, to me, is a phenomenal thing. That a rock, which we all think of as an inanimate object,
grows.
That's amazing to me. I would not be surprised if we come to find sometime way in the future, that they're alive in a way.
It would not
surprise me.
But they're not growing like we grow.
No.
We got to set that out there because people are hearing us.
Of course, yeah.
I know there's at least that one person that's going to go, oh, really?
But the science of them is fascinating. But please, again, stop being fooled by the marketing, by the branding, by the people taking advantage of the fact that, honestly, they think we're gullible and we're going to believe this stuff.
You know?
Yeah.
There are other things I think you could spend your money on more.
For sure. For sure.
Especially in these times.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding, because trust me, your ritual does not need a rock. You might want it there, but it doesn't need it.
And your spell don't need a rock.
No.
Again, you may want it, but you don't need it.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing goes for the diamond, ladies. You might want it. You don't need it.
You don't need it. Well, I think they all want that.
Not necessarily. I think we're finally moving away from that, which is what's really funny.
Oh.
I'm seeing less and less people with the traditional diamond engagement ring. And the irony of that is because people are learning and educating themselves about the origin of the practice of diamonds as an engagement gift. And one of the things they're finding out is, guess what? It's bullshit. It was marketing by the De Beers company, who bought up the mines and then controlled the supply to make diamonds more valuable than they actually are.
Now, I'm about to say, I've heard that for years.
Yes.
That diamonds aren't actually as expensive as we think they
they're
are.
They're really, really not. But we pay an exorbitant amount of money for them because someone else told us they were rare.
And my understanding is now they can actually make diamonds in a lab.
You can make almost any stone in a lab. Almost.
So where's the value now?
Exactly. Yep.
Because something tells me that diamond lab grown is going to be a whole lot better quality than...
Ironically, there it is. Yeah, it is. But it's not. It didn't come from the ground.
It didn't come from the ground, so it don't cost as much.
But you know what does have value?
It's too perfect. Oh.
You know what does have value? Coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out of coffee too.
Shit.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning.